Sighing, sigh after sigh. It's nice work if you can. Oh, we're on.
Yeah, we're
Second
on.
Second time in 2 days.
We're I'll on. Be, good morning. Welcome. I was enjoying that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Hotel Vermouth.
Now you're creating quite a buzz.
Hey.
Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel for this Friday, the 26th of June, the last Friday in June, yeah. And it's very nice to have you with us. We assume that I know the two other panelists are in the building.
Yeah.
Now, we assume that at some point they will actually come to the studio.
Is this one of those Beatles things, I buried Paul? If you listen back to previous shows, Alan was replaced by an android.
I think it's more like Bob Hope on Carson.
Just he'll pop in.
Yeah, that's sort of it.
That's right.
Let me introduce them, and then maybe as I introduce them, they'll come walking through
okay.
the door.
All right.
Maybe that'll
like
that'll
that.
Happen.
All right.
Newsman Ray Graff is here. Good
Hi.
Morning,
Hi,
Raymond.
Kids.
Also here is SUNY Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter, and I know she's here because I walked with her in the parking lot. And here that Nissy now.
Oh, here she is now.
Perfect timing. Yeah. In she walks.
Amazing.
Little traveling music, please.
And it's nice.
We were here.
We said that. We knew we were here. And as we introduced yeah. you, you would come in and make
in.
A grand entrance.
You see the big stars come in when they want.
That's right.
That's the bottom line.
We were actually having a major conversation.
We
about
were. It was very important.
Rosemary's mom coming in.
Oh.
And being on the panel.
Oh, terrific.
Morning.
She's curious about these guys being, I spend my morning yeah. with.
Can you get her in here now? Because I have things to do.
And bringing, apparently she doesn't want to come till she brings cookies.
Oh, she never goes in any place yeah. empty-handed.
Yeah.
God bless. Are we losing that generation?
You mean who bring in things?
Yes, who are going to bake before they come and yeah. visit.
That would be a shame, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I have gotten my girth from that generation, yeah.
You know, that could be a good new problem, like when Mike Spain shows up,
right.
brings tacos or something, yeah. you know?
Libby, yeah. are you listening?
Taco Tuesday with Mike Spain.
Right.
Right. I like it. So, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Ray Graff are here. They make up the panel this morning. They're all in the studio. And that's good news. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org.
I wanted to, Joe, if I may, I wanted to raise one issue of importance, and that is that Ray yesterday gave us a severe tongue lashing because we walked in while he was on the news, and he said, you know, you were reading
well, yeah.
the news.
Well, when I'm on yeah. mic, but I yeah. mean, there are voicers, minute-long voicers.
No,
that
I know,
come
but,
in and...
but you were not pleased with the fact that we were walking in and, you know, and distracting
as
you,
I
from
was
what
speaking.
You from what you did. Yeah.
When the light goes off, you guys are free to come in.
Well, some the light
is. Oh, and I've seen you tickle Ray, make faces.
Yeah.
You live for trying to distract.
And I'm still. And I'm.
Doesn't
and
it?
And by the way, I'm still doing that right now.
We're good? Okay.
No,
all right.
Was that an awkward pause?
No, we're not good.
I don't know. It was awkward.
On a sad note, Joe, for a second, and that is that I read an obit this morning, which is very disturbing. Barbara Schack, who was the leading civil libertarian in the New York State Legislature for many, many years, she was the face of the New York Civil Liberties Union in the legislature. She was extraordinarily well respected. Governors appointed her to virtually every commission you ever heard about, her impact was huge. Sometimes when you leave the scene for a while, people forget, but I haven't forgotten.
Well,
I saw Dave Gilletly the other day, by the way.
Well, that's nice.
He left the scene some time ago, but I haven't forgotten him.
How come Joe has his head buried in his hands?
You've lost control of this program.
I don't know. I'm
Barbara Schack is gone now, Ray.
Oh, I see.
She's dead.
I see.
Dave, our Dave is very much
yes,
alive.
Yes, I saw him yesterday.
A wonderful force.
He's over at his house.
The Supreme Court,
we
ISIS.
Welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Tell us who has gone in your life. 1-800-3... No. WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We will mention the French terror attack. We want to mention that just because this is our largest break where we have the most time. I do want to talk about the Supreme Court decision yesterday. Of course, that was the big news. And there are several aspects of this that are completely fascinating. To me, let us begin with the Supreme Court ruled on Thursday that President Obama's health care law allows the federal government to provide nationwide tax subsidies to help poor and middle-class people buy health insurance, a sweeping vindication that endorsed the larger purpose of Obama's signature legislative achievement, writes the New York Times. To me, the one thing that surprised me was that the ruling was 6-3.
You know, we predicted that. Alan and I had predicted long ago that it would be 6-3. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
I do remember that. I think...
I don't remember that, but that's fine. I believe you.
Well, we have selected memory.
We have the superior memories.
Right, yeah. And not only that, we change from time to time. So we may say one thing one day and another thing another day. So,
but we did. Both of us predicted they would rule it as an interpretation of the law, whether you liked it or not, was clear.
And Kennedy, of course, is the
same. I'm sorry, Alan, can I just interrupt you for one second? Rob, do you mind turning off Rosemary's microphone just for a second? Because I'm going to fix it.
And we don't have silence me?
Yeah, no. Oh, and then Alan's talking, and then I'll fix it, and then we'll put him back on. Go ahead.
Go.
Okay. So John Roberts obviously is the swing vote here. Whether Kennedy went with him or not, I don't know. But the fact is that the court has Roberts has to worry about the perceived integrity of the court. And by doing it this way, he has in fact done exactly that. You have all kinds of, right-wing stuff about the court, but it doesn't extend all the way. You know, Roberts wrote the opinion defending Obamacare or upholding it in the first place. He did it again. Here, Kennedy is a man of some integrity who goes back and forth between both sides. And so the 6-3 makes a lot of sense to me. But the main thing to remember is that Roberts knew that the court would be in big trouble if they had KO'd this thing.
So you really think he's that concerned with his legacy that he lets that make his decisions?
It could be, Ray, but
Roberts?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it's his integrity. His history here. Yes. I think what it is his understanding of the court. You know, you get to be Chief Justice of the court, and you're the custodian of that court and its reputation. And if it becomes nothing more than a cheap political, branch of government, and another part of the Republican caucus, then it's a whole different story. He's in charge of making sure that court doesn't go down in history as a terrible institution. After all, they did steal that election, the Gore versus Bush.
Back in 2000.
That wasn't good. Ray, did I say something that disturbed you?
No, not at all. Oh, continue. Yes. Yeah. Interesting political narrative.
I'm the idealist in this, but Obama got two big victories this week. One was in the trade bill, his trade protection bill in Congress, and this is the vote by the Supreme Court. In both cases, his victory was made possible through an alliance between elements that don't agree. So once again, I see the American system working here. Roberts is no fan at all of Obamacare, and yet this whole process of education went on when they took that case. Why did they take that case? It many people said it's just so open and shut, just a problem of wording. Why did the Supreme Court do it? It looked like someone was gunning for it. But in the end, after all these amicus briefs come in and they heard from a lot of people saying this law is important, this law is working, we want this law, the decision was 6-3. It went the way it should have gone. And I would say the same about the Fair Housing Act, which they also upheld in yesterday's amazing decision, unexpected and happy decision.
I would take some umbrage. Is that the right word?
That means you're
mad
at
me. Pronounce it umbrage or humbrage.
That means you're mad at me.
I would take
for what?
No, I'm not mad at you. I love you.
Take umbrage.
I take some umbrage at your
exception.
Exception.
Yeah.
Take some exception.
It's more gentle if you say I take some exception.
You don't think
polite exception?
Well, maybe I do mean umbrage after all.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
But But no, but at the, you know, the Pacific trade thing, I think that I'm very disturbed by that. I think that it was clear the president was going to lose on that. He had lost a great deal of his party on that. There are many people in this country who think that it is a death knell for American workers. They point to earlier trade agreements like it, and I don't think it's the same thing. In other words, if you arrive at compromise, that doesn't mean it's good. It's just compromise.
Well, compromise is the way the government works or should work, but I've done more reading on the trade bill because I wanted to better be able to counter you, Alan. Mm-hmm. And here's some things to consider. The final vote had a lot of Democratic support. When it seemed like it was going to go through, when the deal was made, when in fact changes to the law were made, mm-hmm. it went through with Democratic support. It did have two-party support. And second, the protests, all the work by Elizabeth Warren, etc., has made a change. The idea that this law has to be secret, that trade laws have to be kept under wraps, is traditional. And it's under fire. That was the main problem with this, that how do we know it's a good deal when we don't know what's in it? Well, actually, a lot of people do know what's in it. It isn't public, but a lot of people involved. And
well,
that is changing.
By
that's changing, though, that the idea the president learned the lesson that these things, why are they not open? Why can't the people see it? So that was a really important piece of legislation, and the process has worked, and it will change both legislation and trade in the future. I think it's a really good example of great governance.
Well, let the record show I couldn't disagree with you more.
Do you take umbrage or just exceptions?
Now, you read up on this. Of course, I didn't. But, but
notice, students, I have the advantage here.
I have read a great deal on it. I do think, though, that the problem is that there are some bills that where the fix is in, where we are, we're just too big to fail, and this was going to happen. Let's face it, he had a solid core of Republican business types with him. He needed the Democrats, and they needed cover. And what you're just describing now is the cover.
But, Alan, you also had Mitch McConnell, who you have repeatedly quoted here as saying, anything that makes him look good, I'm going to fight against. And he didn't.
No, because
they worked together.
Because who signs, as Ray has often said to me, who signs the check? In other words, what, you're looking puzzled, Ray.
No. Listen, I checked out about 5 minutes ago.
Well,
keep
like
going.
When you shoot people glances, I like everybody who's on the other side of the radio to know what fume is coming out of your head.
No, I'm trying to just follow along, keep going.
Because, you know, I always believed as a kid, remember when the comics and somebody was thinking something, there'd be a dotted line around the balloon at the top. Uh-huh. I always believed that could happen to you. And so that...
Okay. All right.
Okay, but I think this bill was too big to fail. I think the McConnells of the world, they owe all of their money, their campaign contributions, everything else to big business, to the big corporations. And this was a pro-big corporation. Send your money abroad. Send it to the Cayman Islands. Do whatever you want. And that's why McConnell is with the president on this one, because it's basically a Republican approach.
Let's take a break. We'll come back, and we will return to our conversation. We want to talk a little bit more about this, and I want to, because we're leaving out one of the great parts of this, which
the
is
descent.
The descent.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll talk about that and much more. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Dorset Theater Festival, presenting Intimate Apparel. An African-American seamstress has a gift for sewing, but longs for love and intimacy. Through July 5th, dorsettheaterfestival.org. Sunwood Builders Amherst, over 20 years of green and custom home building, offering home remodeling services and energy retrofits, working to save energy while maintaining design features. sunwood-builders.com. And Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, using food scraps and yard waste to create nutrient-rich compost that helps conserve water, control weeds, and reduces need for chemical fertilizers. Compost now available at the agency, ucrra.org.
This decision by the Supreme Court in the dissent was called interpretive jiggery pokery, defense of the indefensible. We should start calling the law SCOTUS care, and it is pure applesauce. Just a few of the gems that were in the dissent written by Justice Antonin Scalia. According to the Washington Post, he went full Scalia on this.
Yes.
A 21-page dissenting opinion. And he wrote that the court's two decisions on the act will surely be remembered through the years and will be cited by litigants endlessly to the confusion of honest jurisprudence. What do you make of this, Rosemary?
Well, he is a really brilliant guy and a fantastic writer, and he writes them just this way to get as much attention as possible. The dissent has gotten as many headlines as the main decision. But he is wrong. History is against him. I was just talking to Ray about this on the break, the way that Roberts used Scalia's own words in his dissent on the first Obamacare decision to skewer him. You can't argue one way and then the other. Which Scalia does because he's brilliant. He uses words to get whatever he wants. But he was
Isn't
held.
That what lawyers do?
That is what lawyers do. That is what lawyers do.
But when you
he was held to account.
But when you use words like
jiggery pokery,
that's great.
Or argle bargle, there is some gray area as to what they actually mean, isn't there?
I actually looked them up because, of course, I teach words, and so I was interested.
You teach argle bargle?
No, not at all. That's dishonest talk.
Okay.
The words are taken from British slang. He's not British. Where does this come from? This is very artful. That's the way he puts these things together.
Scalia
to
is an old English name, right?
Yeah, I have one too, Armeo. Yeah. Right.
Hey, how you doing? That's my Cockney accent. Hey.
The other dissent that that we might mention is the one made by Clarence Williams to the Fair Housing Act. The Supreme Court
Clarence
took on
William Thomas.
Sorry, I always do that. That's yeah,
okay.
The Supreme Court justice, of course. Yeah. I mean, the Supreme Court took on fair housing, and everyone thought it would be like voting rights. They were going to gut this bill that was passed in memory, really, of Martin Luther King. In fact, they upheld it. And in a dissent, our black justice who took the seat of Thurgood Marshall said, blacks don't really, you look at something and there's racial disparity, and that doesn't mean discrimination. Look at the NBA. What? Look at the NBA. It's 70% black. No one's saying what? They discriminate. Yeah, it's really disgraceful, I think.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We're going to get some news from the BBC, find out the latest of the situation in France, and also we will continue our conversation on other topics for the day. We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. You can also go on our website at wamc.org/roundtable and look for the date and post your comments there. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, Rosemary Armeo, I'm Joe Donahue. We will continue our conversation after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We welcome you, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll get to the letters in just a second. Alan Chartok is here, Ray Graff, Rosemary Armeo. I'm Joe Donahue, and again, roundtable@wamc.org, where you can write letters like these.
Like these.
That's your cue.
Robert says, ACA, will anyone who disagrees with the SCOTUS Supreme Court decision now introduce legislation to, quote, fix the law by eliminating the tax breaks in states that did not set up their own exchanges? And that's from Bob. Well, there's one thing I can tell you, and that is that every time an action happens, there is always reaction to that. Somebody will, on either side, will react to this decision and try to either fix it or make it go away. But we really can't anticipate. I think now that it's – I know that you've spoken on this, Rosemary, but now that the decision's down, I think that those people in favor of the ACA are not about to
change
mess around.
Yeah.
Why would they?
I think the effect of the law will be to say, okay, it's here to stay. And you may see some states that have resisted setting up exchanges actually get into the business now. The next challenge to the law will be the Boehner-led effort to sue the president for overstepping his bounds. But that's at the district court level, so years away from any sort of Supreme Court treatment.
We heard from Michael, who says, Supreme Court, if Justice Roberts really makes decisions based on the perceived image of the court, then he is doing exactly what the court should not in
exactly
doing. I'm reading this guy's letter. That is a political attitude, and they are the one branch that should not be political. They are supposed to be interpreting the law, nothing more. They are not elected. Why would he care about their image? Well, I've already spoken on this at some length. I think the court has to be regarded as a serious thinker. And for anybody to think, if politics is the authoritative allocation of scarce resources, as I have said many times, that the court is not political, put on another hat, because it is political.
But actions clearly are more important than image, right?
Yeah, but you have to make the right actions in order to preserve the image.
But if
you
had right according wrong, to who?
If you had, according to the majority, if you had in fact made the wrong decision, the Supreme Court would have been lowered in people's estimation. That's my view of it. Anyway, Robert says, we did that. And Dottie says, the U.S. must change its requirement for the labeling of meat products with country of origin due to a world court decision in a suit brought by Canada and Mexico, as the law was seen as inhibiting international trade. I can't wait to learn what U.S. laws will need to be changed due to TPP. So
that's an interesting story, though.
Yeah.
We can no longer find out where the meat is coming from because it's...
Says who?
It's a new change. They were talking about this last week. So if meat comes from Spain, we
but TPP affects the Pacific Rim.
No, this is not
company,
this is not TPP. So. This is another thing that went down. And this writer says, well, what things along these lines will happen with TPP?
Thanks for that explanation. Okay. Tom says, good morning, folks. How about, I'm not going to read that one. Thank you very much. And Kathy says, hello, Roundtable. You mentioned people we've lost. I read a moving remembrance of B.B. King this morning by Jeffrey St. Clair at counterpunch.org, titled Buddha of the Blues. All right. And Mark says, radio silence. Pardon me. In my agitated state, I believe I mistook Joe Donahue for Ray Graff. The latter seems to be the...
That's about another letter that you don't need to read.
That we have... I've already read?
No, yeah, just skip it.
Okay, skip it. Thank you, Chief. Corey says, I'm shocked, I tell you, that the federal court upheld a federal law. The states can still resist the law by applying the principle of nullification, and I hope they do. I do, however, enjoy the irony of Democrats supporting corporate welfare to insurance companies. And that's from Corey. And Stephen says, no, I'm so sorry. That's John says, this ruling was about whether or not a law can change a tax rule. Doesn't the main body of the Constitution say the Congress can make laws regarding taxes? I'm so confused. How is this suit not flat out contradictory? Okay, and panel, please help. And let's see here. Stephen says, good morning, panel. Hooray for Obamacare. Isn't it interesting how Republicans always come out on the wrong side of social progress? If it were up to them, we'd probably still have child labor in this country. And that's from Mark. Stephen says, ACA is business friendly. Roberts is business friendly. The side against Obamacare would have created chaos. A decidedly unconservative thing to do, and that's from Steve.
That's a good point.
Don says, why do they count Thomas's vote separately from Scalia's? It should only count as one vote. Ryan says, recall that the government has compromised plenty of times before on the issue of slavery, on the issue of workers' rights, et cetera. None of these compromises were good. Democrats voted for this bill. That makes them traitors to the American people as well. It doesn't make the bill good governance. It's crazy to me that someone that is experienced as you, Rosemary, can't see that. Am I sure that when this thing goes south, you'll bash the government for voting for it? You want to say something?
No. Maybe.
Okay. Okay. Bob from Albany says, will John Roberts become the next Stephen Breyer? The court's recent history has several examples of smart conservative justices like Sandra Day becoming more liberal over time. Here's hoping, Lord knows, we'll never see anything but negativity from Thomas and Scalia, and from Thomas and Scalia is practically foaming at the mouth, he says. Let's see here. I don't know. I'm not going to do that because I don't understand it. That's from Stacy. She's telling us about the DJ studio being closed for a while. Mark says the ghastly image of Alan Chartok tickling Joe Donahue while in the air.
Yeah, that was the one earlier. You can skip that.
Okay. Larry says nothing. Okay. Ken says.
Pre-read for your protection, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Joe. John says nothing here. Okay, these are, so George says, in regard to the recent terrorist attack in France, do you think America's response is going to be to send James Taylor to sing You Got a Friend again?
There's two terrorist attacks. There's also something going on in Tunisia this morning. A hotel in Sousse, Tunisia.
Oh. Let's see here. Do you think, Roberts? Oh, yeah, we did that one. Okay. So, I heard from Glenn. I'm hearing from a few folks down my way that the search for the escapees has been one of the most screwed up adventures ever. And if you don't believe that, how in heck could they have missed checking out hunting cabins near the prison, including the one owned by corrections officers that apparently had an array of firearms? And no one's admitting what firearms they were? Pardon my language, but I do believe the SP, the corrections, and the sheriff's people are peddling BS. From what I've read and heard, the big missing item's communications, and that's from Glenn. All right. And I suppose that is what we got.
All right. Terrorist attack, as Rosemary just mentioned, terrorist attack sites in France, Tunisia, and Kuwait on Friday.
Oh, I didn't know Kuwait. Wow.
Leaving a bloody toll on three continents and prompting new concerns about the spreading influence of jihadists. In France, attackers stormed an American-owned industrial chemical plant near Lyon. Decapitated one person, tried unsuccessfully to blow up the factory in what French authorities said was a terrorist attack. In Tunisia, gunmen opened fire at a beach resort, killing at least 27 people, officials said. At least one of the attackers was killed by security forces. And the Islamic State claimed responsibility for an explosion at a mosque in Kuwait City. Local news reports said at least 8 people had been wounded. Rosemary.
Boy, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. They're horrible. They're certainly expanding their reach. These are widespread targets, and it, of course, is designed to make us wonder if we're next.
Oh, well, certainly we will be if those folks who have the wherewithal to do it can. I mean, I think that's where you get this playoff between our civil liberties and our protections.
Right.
The idea that if you're looking at people's telephone records and want to see who's talking to who and what they're talking about, whether or not you have undermined your own protections. That's what the debate is about.
Yes, we've had it, and I worry about our liberties, and you have actions like this, which is people are, of course, it would be unnatural if they didn't say, take my liberty, keep me safe, I don't want heads hanging on my doorstep.
And then the next thing that happens is that somebody else's, privacy has been interfered with, and everybody yells, we've gone too far.
Right. ISIS continues to be a very versatile. These are words of praise, but you understand what I'm talking about. They're flexible. They're versatile. They know how to get attention, people's attention and media attention. This is just terrible news. I feel bad for all the people who are affected. It's just awful.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about other issues as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org is how you get in touch with us and share your thoughts. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We will be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Hudson Valley Chamber Music Circle. The Kallikstein Laredo Robinson Trio perform Beethoven, Dvorak, and Tchaikovsky tomorrow at Bard. HVCMC.org. Shedman Custom Woodworks, featuring a variety of size sheds, gazebos, and garages, with site work, installation, and delivery in New Lebanon and Brunswick, New York. Shedman.com for inventory. And Adirondack Creamery Ice Cream, crafted with local milk, cream, sugar, and eggs, and no artificial additives. Flavors such as White Face Mint Chip and Black Raspberry are available at Adams Farriker Farms, Whole Foods, ShopRite, and coming soon to Hannaford. AdirondackCreamery.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. And let's move on to some other topics. We'll try to do a lightning round and get in as many topics as we can in our last few moments together. First of all, we do want to mention that President Obama is headed for Charleston, South Carolina this afternoon and will be delivering the eulogy for Reverend Clementa Pinckney, who was the pastor of the Emmanuel AME Church where the shooting that killed nine people occurred, and he will be giving that eulogy this afternoon and we'll be covering that live. So a bit of a programming note on that and remind you that that'll be happening.
And that may interfere with what, Food Friday?
Probably 3 o'clock is the expected time, but all of that is up in the air.
We'll keep an eye on it.
So we'll find out exactly where it goes, but at some point this afternoon that'll happen.
Yeah.
Is the Confederate flag still flying in South Carolina? They're debating it, but it's still up, right?
I believe it is still.
I think it is.
Yeah, because they have black president will be speaking under the flag. Interesting.
Good point.
Interesting symbol.
All right. I do want to talk about California and the vaccinations in California. I found that to be a fascinating story.
It is,
the
absolutely.
Assembly in California yesterday approved one of the toughest mandatory vaccination laws in the nation. California lawmakers approved this, moving to end exemptions from state immunization laws based on religious or other personal beliefs. This from the LA Times. The measure, among the most controversial taken up by the legislature this year, would require more children who enter daycare and school to be vaccinated against diseases, including measles and whooping cough. Those with medical conditions such as allergies and immune system deficiencies confirmed by a physician would be excused from immunization, and parents could still decline to vaccinate children who attend private home-based schools or public independent studies off campus.
This is a Supreme Court work in the future. You've got
right.
the you got the constitutional right to freedom of religion versus a huge public interest in keeping our population safe and healthy. So how will they rule? Is this denying children whose parents don't vaccinate them the right to go to school? Hugely interesting. I mean, I would argue personally in the favor of health, give them the shots, but I sure can see the other side, the other point of view.
Because what shots down the road in 20 years might
Rosemary
not
quiet.
Agree with.
Well,
Now we do know the consequences, right, of not immunizing your kids. You put other children at
absolutely.
Risk.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the it's still unclear, as the paper points out, whether the governor will sign
it,
this,
yeah.
whether Governor Jerry Brown will sign it, although his spokesman yesterday said that the governor believes the vaccinations are profoundly important and that any bill that reaches his desk will be closely considered. So
yeah,
we'll
I wondered why there was not just a yes, the governor will sign it. So
I think most people,
doubt?
Most people think that immunizations are really important.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are a lot of people on both sides of the aisle in California and everywhere that say, wait, this is overstep of the federal government
or the
state government.
State government. This is religion, freedom of religion, kind of important.
And so. Jerry Brown is quickly becoming one of my favorite governors. So
I think I always liked him, even back in the day when he had hair and Linda Ronstadt.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I got severely criticized when I did it the last time on his
What do you
program.
Mean?
Well, when
the
I said
Linda
one of the best
Ronstadt
things he
connection.
Ever had going for him was Linda Ronstadt. But I got a letter
cool.
saying, how dare you?
No, please.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, back at the State Department, they said on Thursday that 15 emails sent or received by Hillary Rodham Clinton were missing from records that she has turned over, raising new questions about whether she deleted work-related emails from the private account she used exclusively while in office. The disclosure appeared to open the door for Republicans on Capitol Hill to get more deeply involved in the issue. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, who is running for president, said he planned to send a series of questions to the State Department about the missing emails and about why it allowed her to use the personal account.
Hillary, once again, I'm going to vote for her. I want her to be president, but she is not handling these things very well.
What should she have done? Suppose the letters were compromising.
Well, it's to me what disturbed me was the way she got caught. They invited the panel, the committee that's looking at Benghazi, brings in someone she corresponded with a lot about Benghazi, and they said, "We want your email." So he turns in everything that included some emails from her that she did not include in hers. How could she not have thought of that?
Well, let me just tie that to something else, which may be or maybe not on the table, and that is that Bernie Sanders is now catching up to Hillary in all the polling. Now,
especially in New Hampshire.
Still kind of a big gulf. I mean, catching up when you're like 100-0 is relative. What are the polls saying?
Actually, I don't have it in front of me, but they're getting close. And I can tell you that.
I don't think she's sweating about that yet.
Well, I think the Sanders candidacy puts the centrist Clinton into a difficult place where she has, and I think it's good, where she has to move left. But in any case, that movement with the Clintonian problem of skating the law.
Smarmy. It's just smarmy.
Skating the law is that we saw it during, some of the early problems they had with their law firm and everything else. The character is character. It keeps on coming the same way all the time.
Just to get to the poll, there was a CNN poll released yesterday in New Hampshire. Bernie Sanders, 8 percentage points behind Clinton. Among Democratic primary voters surveyed, 45% said that Sanders, quote, cares the most about people like you, while 24% said the same about Clinton.
That was the poll question?
That was one of them.
It's a ridiculous question, and it's an 8-point difference in his strongest place. I don't think he's a credible threat to Hillary's campaign at this point. But and she is under attack. But why doesn't she know that? Why is she not conducting herself in a way that shows?
Well, what
should
she do? What do you want her to do?
She should have turned in all of it. She should first not have used the private server, and then having done that, and she did. She should have owned up to it. There were good reasons to do it. She could have said that, and then turn over the emails.
Maybe she deleted them soon after reading. I mean, maybe they were not retrievable.
Of course, I mean, I couldn't do it, but there are technicians who can do that. Who can say, here's everything, even what you deleted. That's not. She's just artless about this. She's doing a cover up, and it's bad. And why? I don't think there's anything in Benghazi. I think had there really been a problem with the way she behaved or acted in her job, that would have come out, considering the firepower that's gone after her. But still, all these small things are disturbing.
Well, if this guy Blumenthal was that his name, Joe? Do you remember who she was corresponding with? Was saying, okay, Hillary, here's the way you got to play this one. You got to do this and do that. It's not substantively terrible, but it might be the kind of thing which you would try to avoid.
Yeah, I mean, her statement to Congress was, I throw out all the things that were about, the wedding and my mother's funeral and personal stuff. You didn't need the yogurt on my shopping list. Things that were purely personal. That's what she led them to believe she threw out. Talking with any advisor about Benghazi is obviously what the committee wants to see. I don't know.
And just back to the polling for a second. Polls right now don't mean anything, right?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, because
polls mean a great deal. They do mean a great deal.
Okay, so when we see, because we've been talking about the Democrats, but when we see Donald Trump with good numbers, what does that mean?
It means not good. No, I mean, if they were left, there are a lot of...
That's not going to happen, is it?
Well, no, it's not going to happen, I don't think. Who am I? But if you say, okay, Donald Trump says, I'm a rich man, and America responds, say, yay, Donald, you're a rich man, and that's what we all aspire to, That tells you something.
A
little bit difficult about our sociology.
What Donald said was that those Mexicans coming over across the line are some of them are rapists. They've got drugs. They're criminals. I suppose a few are okay. Horrible. And then we have the poll. So no, I the poll came out, of course, just before he said this outrageous thing that's having all kinds of contractual problems for him in his Miss Universe contest. So the polls will go back down.
Well, they may, and it's as we always say, snapshot. Yeah. However, Joe, they are important. They're important because we have a phenomena in this country where everybody wants to get on the bandwagon, and if somebody is leading and doing very well in the polls, it has an effect on what people are thinking. After all, look at this Republican field. Somebody's got to make sense out of it, and somebody's going
to
say—
And Chris Christie's adding himself to the mix.
He is, and that's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you might wonder, is Hillary kind of slowly dying of a thousand cuts? And yet, she has this huge advantage of being still the clear runner, despite all that's happened, whereas the Republicans have, what, 20 people in the field now? Right. You can't even keep track of them all.
No. Need a scorecard.
Yeah.
Let me bring you back 8 years ago, or whatever, and tell you about an obscure United States senator who nobody ever heard of and who began to catch on, and people began to say, yeah, you know, I don't like her. I want him. That's how it happens.
Mm. Yeah, we still got that sexism thing going too. We don't want a woman.
Is that fair?
I worry about that.
Okay,
I don't know if it's fair. It's a worry though.
Well, in that case, it was if you don't want a woman or you don't want a black man.
Oh, and there it was. We you know this country
or you don't
which
want
has
that
a,
woman.
Oh no.
I like that, Joe.
No woman has gotten close. If Elizabeth Warren were in there, we'd be hearing the same thing. She's too liberal. You don't say it's because she's a woman, but it's something else.
So, and I'm not sure I disagree with you, but...
Yeah, this is not like said with conviction. It's a worry.
Yeah.
But in this very racist country...
But if you had a male candidate that had the same,
problems.
Let's say it, baggage that Hillary Clinton has...
Oh, say like Chris Christie?
Or
Bill, for instance.
Right.
Or her husband, yeah. Yeah. What's his popularity rating?
Yeah, whatevs. I hear that argument all the time.
Still extraordinarily high.
Yes.
Yeah. So
he's like a parrot. You can count on that response every time.
Who?
You. You say his response.
Extraordinarily high.
Oh, I thought you were talking about yourself.
No. But there is more forgiveness for men who do this sort of thing than there is against a woman. I really do
probably
think
right.
that.
I
do.
Yeah. Well, we're going to obviously be watching all of this, and we'll be back on Monday to talk more about the topics of the day. Alan, Rosemary, Raymond, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Bye, Joe.
Are you smiling, Ray?
Happy.
Yes.
Hey, have a great weekend, all. Thanks for listening.
And we're going to go over to a news break in just a moment. A British person will say hello, and we'll be back after this.